The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races!
Here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Welcome to the Tuesday morning edition of Fantasy Football Today, the playoff edition of the Waiver Wire. Congratulations, friends, if you made the playoffs. Let's win a few more. And by the way, if you have a bye this week, we're going to peek ahead to week 15 as well, give you some week 15 waiver advice. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. Jamie, how is the Waiver Wire this week? 0 to 10. On the waiverometer.
Before I give you that answer, what if people don't know if they made the playoffs yet, Adam? There's still a game on Tuesday that could decide some playoff implications, which could make people doing their waiver wiring a little interesting, because what if you miss the playoffs, but you still put in your waiver moves? I wonder how commissioners are going to react to that.
Oh,
without do some retroactive drops to players that are added.
Oh, wow. What a great question. What do you do in that situation? Yeah.
I'm going to send messages to all of my leagues, all 50 billion of them, and say that if you fall asleep before your game is decided and you make your moves, there's going to be some changes made for the league. But, you know, hopefully you'll do your due diligence and keep an eye on what the score is. And if you're out of the playoffs, don't make any waiver wire moves.
All right.
Couldn't you just
idea.
Disable waivers for Tuesday night, Wednesday morning?
Oh, I would love that. But I mean, I think it'd
probably be. You can do that. You're the commissioner of your leagues. You go into your league, you unclick Tuesday, bing, bang, boom, you're done.
That's interesting. Yeah, maybe we should push it back to Wednesday. Hey. All right.
I mean, doesn't that make sense? Why else would you do this?
Well, I mean, just, you know, changing the rules were different last week because of what happened.
Well, what's different between last week and this week?
There wasn't a Wednesday game this week. There isn't a Wednesday game.
But there's a Tuesday game.
Right, yeah, but I mean, there's still, the Wednesday game.
I don't, makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
There's one thing that's one problem with that. There's a particular player that I could see getting dropped this week. Well, I don't know. He's coming off such a big game. But I could see people dropping Jared Goff because he's got New England on a short week. But his next two games are the Jets and the Seahawks. If you make your waivers run Wednesday night and someone drops Jared Goff, nobody can get him before next week. Like, you can't pick him up, stash him, because he plays.
Yeah, I mean,
Thursday.
It's such a small, I'm not going to change waivers. It's such a small percentage of people that are going to have this scenario happen to them.
You're not going to change it? Okay. I mean, I think it's a fine idea, or you could just send the note to your league, but it is something that needed to be addressed. Okay, good job. Thank you for addressing it. Now, Jamie, waiverometer.
It's a 7 out of 10.
Dave, how you feeling? Feeling that good?
I think it's a 10 out of 10 at receiver. And probably like a 6.5 out of 10 at tight end, and everything else is okay. All right.
Except you got a couple of quarterbacks who might be available, and Drew Brees and Matthew Stafford. I mean, Brees is like 72% rostered. So that could be, if he plays this week, that could be great. Pick him up if he's available. All right. Well, we'll get into it. Let's get into it right now. Why waste time? Why waste your time? Dave, top priorities. Who are they?
Overall or at quarterback?
Overall.
Overall, Kiki QT is going to be my number one guy to pick up. I was impressed with how he played, and you got to love how Deshaun Watson's been playing this year. So makes sense to make him the top priority. I don't know. If you really, really don't need a wide receiver, then I guess you could pass on him. But even if you just want like that one great PPR piece on your bench, I think he could be it. But he's not the only one that I think could be it. I think T.Y. Hilton also deserves to come back for. Tim Patrick is another one that people could double back for. And if that's probably as good as it gets at wide receiver, and probably overall in the waiver wire. There's some running backs that, you know, we're going to talk about that you could go after as well. But I think the priority for me is going to be receiver, assuming I'm not loaded already there.
Okay, so Jamie, the list that Dave gave, were QT, Hilton, and Patrick. Would those be your top waiver wire priorities, or would there be someone else in there?
I mean, McKissick, obviously, if he's available. You know, when you look at what his opportunity is now with potentially no Antonio Gibson, I mean, PPR and half PPR, it's pretty obvious that he should have been rostered already based on what he's done, even if you haven't started him the last several weeks. But, you know, three of his last five games, 10 or more targets, seven or more catches, and I don't think that's going to change if Gibson's gone. So he's in the mix with those other three receivers for sure.
Gibson left very early in the game with a toe injury.
And crushed me.
Yeah,
crushed a lot me of in people. One of my leagues, man. But what's McKissick's roster percentage?
65%.
Okay. Yeah. That's why I didn't have him. Okay.
Yeah, 65 is usually our threshold, so he's right there. And Stafford's rostered in 66% of leagues. Am I too excited about Matthew Stafford? I feel like it could be a nice finish for him.
It absolutely could. I mean, obviously, his value kind of hinges on Kenny Galladay, absolutely. Whether you trust him or don't or not. He was great without Galladay against the Bears, which Adam, I referenced on Monday on FFT, how you keep saying the Bears had kind of lucked into not facing an opponent's number one wide receiver and how that's kind of impacted some of their pass defense numbers. And maybe that showed up this week, even though Kenny Galladay wasn't there. But I think you look at Stafford, there was a change and Darrell Bevell took over and it was his first game. And you saw Stafford a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more like the guy we saw last year, and the Bears defense fell apart. So if he gets Galladay back, I think he's a must start quarterback. If he doesn't have Galladay back, he's a borderline starter.
Yeah. And with Bevell as the head coach last week, this could have been just a coincidence, but Chris Towers, thank you for this stat. Matthew Stafford had 551 intended air yards in week 13. His previous high was 398. Marvin Jones led the NFL last week in air yards with 234. That's a huge jump, 551 air yards compared to 398, his previous high. And that was what Ben Gretsch had kept harping on, why he was so excited about Matthew Stafford, because the air yards were so high last year. So maybe he can finish strong. Anyway, Stafford's not available in a ton of leagues, so maybe I shouldn't spend too much time in him. But 66%.
Just two other factors. One, they weren't. It's almost like they didn't have confidence in running the ball. Especially after Kerryon got hurt late, so I guess you can't really say that. But they decided to lean on Stafford. And the Bears' pass rush, for whatever reason, could not fluster Stafford. The offensive line did a good job.
Well,
it's either the offensive line
for
Detroit did well, or the Bears' pass rush was absolutely terrible. And I think that's probably what it was. And that helped Stafford throw downfield more.
Yeah,
it was great. It's great to see, and he should be able to keep throwing against Green Bay.
Right. Green Bay does not have a very good pass rush. Okay, so QT, let me ask you about QT, Hilton, and Patrick. Because QT, and by the way, if you need a running back this week, McKissick, Adrian Peterson might be the top two names, Ty Johnson as well. But QT is facing the Bears, and they are fifth best against wide receivers. But as I've pointed out, the only ones that have been like really good that they've done well against have been the Rams wide receivers this year. Pretty much every other, and Corey Davis didn't have a catch. That's not good. But other good wide receivers typically do well against the Bears. And then after that, it's the Colts, who he just torched, but they still are eighth best against wide receivers. So do the matchups matter at all for QT when you evaluate him? And for T.Y. Hilton, he's facing the Raiders. And there's only been one wide receiver in their last four games with more than 68 yards against the Raiders. That's T.Y. Hilton, or that's Tyreek Hill, pardon me. They're giving up a lot of touchdowns, though, so I wouldn't say it's a bad matchup. But and then Tim Patrick actually appears to have a pretty good matchup. The last five games, the Panthers have been pretty bad against wide receivers. But anyway, like, how much do matchups matter for QT, Hilton, and Patrick?
Well, QT, you know what's available to him because no Will Fuller, and so the fact that it was the first game without Fuller and he had more targets than Fuller averages is a very nice sign. You know, Fuller averages about seven targets per game. QT had nine. So you see that they're not afraid to not necessarily use him the same way, but use him in a way that is going to make him beneficial to your fantasy team. You don't have to start QT if you don't feel comfortable doing it. But if you need a wide receiver for this week, he's in that top 30 mix. You know, again, we're no more buys. So you got to stop looking at top 24. It's top 30 plus. And so QT's in that range. Same thing with Hilton, who's now scored in two straight and maybe finally healthy, maybe finally on the same page with Phillip Rivers. And you're seeing the volume in the passing game obviously increased for the Colts over the last several weeks. And so Hilton doesn't just get the Raiders this week. He gets the Texans again next week, who he owns. He destroys Houston week in, week out, every time he plays them. And that continued, that trend continued, or year in, year out. That trend continued last week. And then for Patrick, you know, how many times have we said his name on the show? It seems like every week. And the funny thing is like, you know, I went back and looked, and I think we've been doing a great job of getting ahead of these things more times than not this season. The top three priority wide receivers last week that I gave you, Deebo Samuel was one, Tim Patrick was two, Kiki QT was three. So now, especially if you're still spending fab money, you're chasing those players as opposed to getting ahead of those players. And so Patrick, his roster percentage, this is shocking to me, went down. His roster percentage was 55% last week. It's at 54% this week. I don't understand what people are avoiding him
for.
They
saw the Kendall Hinton game and they didn't just ignore it.
I guess. I mean,
they should have, right? But they didn't.
It was kind of obvious. And look, he didn't have a great game aside from the touchdowns, you know, but the touchdowns are there for him. And he's just one of those guys that, you know, I was on Chris Harris's podcast and the way he phrased it to me was, if an alien came from outer space and you didn't know pedigree or draft status or anything, you would never think that Jerry Jeudy is the number one wide receiver for the Broncos. It's just, you know, he's just not. And Tim Patrick has taken over that role since Cortland Sutton went down in week three. It's just, he does, again, you don't have to start him, but he's in that mix.
Who's the alien in that scenario? Patrick or Jeudy, or they're both aliens?
No, if an alien came from outer space,
right,
asking about who's the number one wide receiver for the Broncos.
Adam, you're the alien.
No, I get it. Just like, I don't know if that's the alien. Now, I've used the alien thing before. That one, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to use it for the Broncos. But okay, and Tim Patrick, if you take out the Kendall...
They would have taken an alien to be their quarterback.
There you go. If you take out the Kendall Hinton game, Tim Patrick has scored 10 or more PPR fantasy points in 5 of his last 6 games, 14 or more in 3 of his last 6 games.
And this was his best fantasy game without getting 6 or more targets.
Yeah, 4 catches, 44 yards, 2 touchdowns at the Chiefs. Good game. Yeah, solid game. Fun little game. All right, we got more waiver wire advice tonight, 8 o'clock. Join us on Twitch, twitch.com/FF today. And we'll be watching a football game. How about that? That'll be fun. So come on to Twitch at 8 p.m. Eastern, twitch.com/FF today, and watch CBS Sports HQ, for goodness sake. Great advice every day on HQ, noon Eastern, and if you miss the noon show, you can watch it on demand on the CBS Sports app on your OTT device. Go to the CBS Sports app, scroll down until you see the FFT familiar faces. I do want to look ahead to Week 15 just real quick here. We won't spend a ton of time on this, but if you need... actually, you know what? Let's do... Okay. Give me the running back breakdown real quick. McKissick, Peterson, Ty Johnson, whoever it is. Dave, who are the week 14 running backs we need to focus on?
You just said it in the order that I like it. McKissick is 1. Peterson is 2. Ty Johnson is 3. None of these guys are going to turn your world around, but this is the position that I like to stock my bench with once I get to the fantasy playoffs. I don't mind having, and this is something that I probably need to just correct myself on from what I said on Sunday's podcast. I said that you don't need receiver and tight end depth for the playoff run. You probably need one receiver and at least a plan at tight end if you don't have a good tight end already in your starting lineup. But if you've already got stud receivers and a good receiver on your bench, I don't know what adding Kiki QT is going to do for you other than keeping him away from your opponents. I'd much rather have running backs that might develop into guys who, A, I could keep away from my opponents, but B, potentially use as a starter or a flex in my non or half PPR leagues. And these are the types of guys. We don't know when DeAndre Swift is going to come back, and Kerryon Johnson's hurt. He got hurt blocking. So I'm not sure exactly what his status is going to be. And Adrian Peterson could be on the brink of getting a lot of work, and we've seen him at least cash in with some touchdowns lately.
He's playing the Packers. He's a flex.
Exactly.
Yeah. This week.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would try and get running backs if I didn't have a need for my waiver wire pickups this week. And I would try and plan ahead toward week 15 with my DSTs. If I'm streaming tight ends, I'll plan ahead with that too. Same thing with quarterbacks.
From a strategy standpoint, the players that I could see just really torching me, like against me, would be Stafford and Rivers. I could see them having, and Breeze too. I wouldn't mind playing keep away with them. if I don't need a quarterback.
It depends on who I'm playing in the first round, though. Am I playing the guy that's got Mahomes? Or
if I'm playing
Watson?
A guy, no. If I'm playing a guy,
they're not going to go after them.
If I'm playing the Kyler Murray fantasy manager, I'm going to try to keep those quarterbacks away from him.
That's part of the strategy for sure. Not to say that I would start those guys ahead of Kyler Murray, but obviously this is the time of year where it doesn't hurt you to look ahead to see who you're playing, what they might need off the waiver wire, and what you can do to block them.
At this point, are you not starting, let's say Kenny Golladay comes back this week, are you not starting Stafford and Rivers ahead of Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson?
I'm not starting Rivers ahead of Kyler, but no. I could see myself starting Stafford. I already have them very close to begin with.
Okay. Okay, now let's take a look ahead to week 15. Quarterbacks for that week. Now, some of these quarterbacks are rostered in a lot of leagues, and they're not available, but they might get dropped. You never know, and I'll just give you the names anyway. Derek Carr is the Chargers. Teddy Bridgewater is at Green Bay. Jared Goff, if somebody drops him because he's got the Patriots on Thursday, Jared Goff has the Jets and then the Seahawks in weeks 15 and 16. Phillip Rivers against Houston, so it could be a two-week pickup for Rivers. Daniel Jones gets Cleveland, and Baker Mayfield's at the Giants. I don't know how we view that matchup anymore. Mitchell Trubisky at Minnesota, Matthew Stafford at Tennessee, Nick Mullins at Dallas, Jalen Hurts maybe at Arizona. Not like the best stuff here, but Rivers.
Mayfield is interesting because he gets the Jets in week 16.
Who is?
Mayfield.
Oh, yeah. But Rivers and Stafford are not just week 14 guys. I mean, they have good week 15 schedules as well, so that's good. And then if you want to stash a DST for week 15, the Chargers are at Las Vegas. I don't know if that excites you or not. And then they get Denver in week 16. The Bills, they could get dropped because they have Pittsburgh this week. They're at Denver next week. Cleveland's at the Giants. Minnesota gets the Bears. Arizona gets Philadelphia. Like if you believe in Arizona, they got the Giants on the road this week and then Philadelphia next week. So that's two pretty good matchups. And San Francisco is at Dallas in week 15.
And they've got Washington this week.
So there you go. And that is your week 15 look ahead. Dave, I'm stressed, man. Stressful
why?
Time. Why? I got a lot of pressure right now. We got to get people wins. You know what I need? I need to chill. I need a moment.
You need the moment of chill.
So, Dave, what do you reach for when you need to chill, my man?
Yeah, you know what I'm reaching for. I'm reaching for Coors Light. And you're right. There's a lot of stuff going on beyond fantasy football. And the stress of fantasy football this year just makes it all the more challenging. And so before you go to do your waiver wiring, whether it's Tuesday night, Wednesday night, whenever, just clear your mind for a second and take a moment to just relax. You're not on the go. You're going to go attack those waivers perfectly. You're going to get the players off the waiver wire that you need. Your teams are going to be great. You're going to win the championship. But take that moment to refocus. Take a moment to chill with Coors Light. It's a refreshing cold drink. Everybody knows it. And you know that I've been talking about how there's no nasty aftertaste like there is with craft beers where they put all this crazy crap in it. It's not like that with Coors Light. It's perfect. So that's what I'm going to do. Before I go and do my ads and drops on Tuesday night and Wednesday night, I'm going to take a moment to chill and enjoy the Rocky Mountain refreshment of a nice cold Coors Light.
Yes, and do not miss the new packaging from Coors Light. It's already hitting the shelves. They got the new design with the clear skies that invite you to sit back, unwind, and drink it all in. And the iconic Coors Light mountains, they still turn blue when your beer is as cold as the Rockies. So it's a brand new look, but it's the same ice cold refreshment. And make sure you are going to get.coorslight.com. All right, get it delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Your news and notes. Take a look at Curtis Samuel. He's 80% rostered. If he's available, DJ Moore is, can we safely say DJ Moore is not going to play this week?
Well, Samuel might not play also.
Right.
He's been placed in the reserve COVID-19 list, but there is still a chance he could play. I think he's just
yes,
part of the contact tracing as opposed to, or close contact, excuse me, as opposed to testing positive for COVID-19. But if he does play, and DJ Moore, who's dealing with an ankle injury and was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list, is out, then he's at worst the number two guy, potentially the number one guy, alongside Robbie Anderson.
Drew Brees could play this week. Jalen Hurts could start this week. Christian McCaffrey, come on, buddy.
He's playing.
It's looking good.
It's a little too late for some of us, but not for all of us. Come on back. All right, he's probably going to play. Joe Mixon could play this week. They've got Dallas. Dallas will be coming off a short week. Antonio Gibson's got the toe. Josh Jacobs, it's fair to say he's not looking good for this week.
That's what John Gruden sort of alluded to.
Yeah. Frank Gore left on the opening drive, as you know. So Ty Johnson is probably the guy to get, and he had a big game. He gets Seattle, though. Not an easy matchup. Tell that to Gallman. Brandon Allen and T.
Tell
Higgins.
Tell that to Alfred Morris.
Oh, true. Any updates on Brandon Allen and T. Higgins?
Higgins said he was just had a hamstring strain, slight hamstring strain, seemed to downplay it. And Allen, my guess, is probably not going to play.
Oh, boy.
Got Kerryon Johnson with the injury. You got another big injury on defense for Pittsburgh, although I don't know the severity, but Robert
Spillane. There's a couple of them.
Well, Joe Hayden's got the potential concussion, and linebacker Robert Spillane has been pretty good in IDP. He left with a knee injury. So they're starting to get a little beat up. Buffalo-San Francisco was the second game since 2000 that featured turnovers on downs to start a game. Two turnovers on downs to start a game. Thank you, AP, for that stat. Matt Milano played, if you're curious. We always talk about him and how good he is at covering tight ends, but he only played 31% of the snaps for the Bills. Jordan Reed didn't have a good game until the very, very end where he caught a touchdown. Indianapolis right tackle LaRaven Clark out for the season. So they are beat up at tackle right now. That's disappointing. And you got a Thursday game for the Rams. Cam Akers was estimated to have missed practice. Don't think that's an issue. Just resting him, right?
Well, they didn't say rest on the injury report. They said shoulder.
I know, but
I hope you're right. But he was on the estimated injury report, and Daryl Henderson, who left the game with an injury and then came back, was not on the injury report.
All right, worth keeping it in mind.
Cam's also on the injury report. He played, so I wouldn't read too much into it.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Let's get our top three at each position. Get some names if we haven't given them yet. Quarterback, Jamie, who are the top three quarterbacks this week?
Phillip Rivers is number one. I hope he stays hot in a great matchup this week, and then he gets the Texans again next week. After Phillip Rivers, I'm going to go back to Trubisky just because the matchup is good, and hopefully he has another touchdown. He did have over 260 passing yards and the unfortunate fumble at the end, but I think the matchup is good and the schedule is great. Just have to wonder if they may go back to Nick Foles would be my only concern at this point with saying to pick him up. Starting him is a different conversation altogether, but just in terms of adding him, you have to worry about maybe Foles getting the job back. And then Baker Mayfield would be three for now. That could change if the Ravens get healthy, and then maybe Drew Lock would slip into that number three spot because of the matchup against Carolina. But Mayfield, the way that he's playing, if the Ravens give up another, not big game, but good enough game from Andy Dalton tonight, and they don't get their guys back next week, I would go back to Baker Mayfield, who's on a very nice roll the last 2 weeks.
No love for Nick Mullins.
No.
Okay.
So Baker Mayfield gets Baltimore on Monday night. Looking forward to that game. Nick Mullins gets Washington on Sunday.
If he's still the starter, Garoppolo could return.
Sure. If Garoppolo's back, then you can't trust him. But I'd rather take, if I had to choose between him and Trubisky, for example, I would rather have Mullins and hope that Garoppolo stays away than Trubisky so he doesn't fumble the job back to Foles mid-game.
And, you know, there's another name that needs to be brought up here, and it's Stafford, because he's over the 65% threshold, but he's 66%. Rivers is at 64 or 65. So Stafford and Rivers basically have the same roster percentage. So who would you prefer, Stafford or Rivers?
Stafford, if he gets Galladay back. Rivers, if not.
Agreed.
All right, the running backs, J.D. McKissic, Adrian Peterson, and Ty Johnson. Was that the third one? Okay. Is there another one that's
Jeff Wilson was playing a lot last night?
Jeff Wilson, yeah. They split snaps almost evenly, he and Mostert. That was very disappointing.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was disappointing. How about Peyton Barber? Look at the Falcons, maybe. Anyone else? Yeah.
I have Ito Smith on my list. He's just not top three, but he looks like the best running back in Atlanta. And we saw the Falcons, they went to this three-headed approach where Gurley didn't get a lot of work. It seems like he could be their short yardage guy. And everything else goes to Brian Hill and Ito Smith. And Brian Hill's been a scrub.
There's two differing reports on Todd Gurley. On RotoWorld, they are quoting Dirk Cutter saying that he's still dealing with the knee injury and they plan to play him in situational spots last week against the Saints. On our site, we are quoting Raheem Morris, who said that the plan is to go back to Gurley as their lead guy, even though that was the plan going into the Saints game, was to use him in situational spots.
Oh, good.
But did not mention the knee injury. So I wonder if he is 100%. I wonder if he is going to get his job back. The matchup is unbelievable this week for the Falcons against the Chargers. So we'll see if he takes advantage of it. I have Gurley on the drop list right now because if he is less than 100%, how could you ever trust him? If you're not going to trust him, why are you holding him? Yeah. So just depends on what your roster looks like. So I don't want to trust Todd Gurley. I think Ito Smith is the better of the backup guys, but I think it's going to be a mess all the way around.
It's for deeper leagues. No one's going to run out and grab Ito Smith in a regular 10 or 12 team league.
Sure. It's the same thing with Nick Mullins and some of these quarterbacks too. You know, we're not telling anybody anything that they're going to do.
What about Ty Johnson? I mean, how do you feel about him? With let me just get the stats. It was 22 carries, 104 yards, touches, and a touchdown.
Yeah, 24 touches on 63% of the snaps in place of Frank Gore, and Gore got hurt. I think on the very first drive of the game for the Jets, he was out of there, and then Ty Johnson played a lot and got the workman role here. And I don't know. I feel like it's a huge risk to trust any Jets running back at this point. Like, think about what it took to feel comfortable starting Frank Gore last week. Okay, he had been decent in his previous two games, and he had a fantastic matchup at home against the Raiders. And that's why some people put him in their lineups.
But when you look at, like, when you look at yards from Frank Gore and from Ty Johnson, you would think if the matchups were neutral, matchup neutral, probably gonna have more yards than Adrian Peterson. Then it just comes down to touchdowns. Peterson is a much better matchup this week with Green Bay as opposed to Ty Johnson having Seattle.
Right.
So, but you know what I'm saying here? It's like if we're interested in Adrian Peterson, if Peterson's two and Johnson's three on the priority list right now, how big is the gap between the two?
The gap is big, but it's dependent on the injuries.
Yeah.
Right. If Kerryon Johnson's out and DeAndre Swift doesn't come back, Adrian Peterson might have more work than Ty Johnson this week.
If Gore's out and Peterson's out?
I don't care about Kerryon Johnson. It's DeAndre Swift. If Swift is back, then you can't trust Adrian Peterson. If Kerryon's back, I mean, you kind of see what Peterson has been anyway. You know, so he's a touchdown or bust running back. He's not being used in the passing game. I'm sure that would change if both those guys aren't there. But, I mean, obviously, if DeAndre Swift is able to play, you can't trust Adrian Peterson. Same thing if Frank Gore comes back. You can't trust Ty Johnson. But,
yeah.
And the window, I believe, now is open for LaMichael Perine to return. I think he's missed now three games.
That's interesting. So let's say you have Miles Sanders. Are you going to start Adrian Peterson or Ty Johnson over him?
I'd start Peterson in non-PPR if the other Lions guys are out, not Ty Johnson.
I mean, yeah, okay. How about like Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
No, I'd still start Clyde.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to our top three wide receivers. We've already talked about them. They are Kiki QT, T.Y. Hilton, Tim Patrick.
It's only been two games for Piran, excuse me.
Oh. Who are three other, or who are a couple of other wide receivers you could see people picking up?
After those guys, I think you look at Rashard Higgins, who, you know, doesn't have the easiest matchup against Baltimore, but, you know, he's kind of shown that he can be a serviceable wide receiver in some of the better matchups for the Browns as opposed to the win games for the Browns. Colin Johnson, especially if LaVisca Chenault is hurt, you know, he's been good the last 2 weeks. And then I'd look at Julian Edelman. You know, he's expected to return at some point in the next week or so. And so if you are desperate for some receiver help, you know, we've seen the Patriots receivers obviously not step up, and that could be a byproduct clearly of Cam, but, you know, maybe Edelman has an opportunity to help you down the stretch.
Dave, tight end.
Logan Thomas is at the top of my list. 42% rostered. Came up huge when the football team had a hard time running the football. Alex Smith loves throwing short. We've talked about that for a while. And maybe he's a little bit more than a tight end with a pulse at this point. So I'm intrigued by him. And then the rest of the tight ends, I'm not necessarily partial to at all. Jordan Reed's on the list. He scored late on Monday night. Tyler Eifert's been getting targets from Mike Glennon. Dawson Knox has a touchdown, two straight games. Anthony Firkser is interesting if Jonnu Smith stays out. Cole Kmet is someone who we've talked about, and his playing time has gone up. And last week, the targets went up, and he scored on a bootleg play from Trubisky. So no one outside of Thomas who I feel good about starting at tight end. But there are plenty of guys that you could look at to stream.
Before Monday night's game, I had Dalton Schultz as the number one guy simply because of his matchup against the Bengals. So if he comes out of this game against Baltimore with a strong game, he's a starting tight end for me next week against Cincinnati.
The three tight ends who have the best matchups this upcoming week are Schultz as the third best matchup. Jordan Akins has the second best matchup against the Bears. They have been horrible. They've allowed a touchdown or to a tight end with four or fewer targets in three of their last four games. And number one would be Will Dissly against the Jets.
Yeah, I have Dissly on the list. Him and Hollister are interesting because they basically are sharing the role of Greg Olsen's in Greg Olsen's absence. You mentioned it. The matchup is fantastic. You know, you like to see one of those guys step forward. I lean toward Dissly just because I think they prefer him in the pass catching role as opposed to Hollister. But in, you know, if you're in a tight end premium league and you're stuck, I'd look at either one of those guys just because the Jets absolutely stink against tight ends.
Okay. And that's tight end. DST, Jamie, who are we looking at with DSTs this week?
I would look at the Patriots still. It looks like they're getting healthy and playing at a much better level lately, going against the Rams. So we know Jared Goff can be turnover prone, especially when he gets frustrated. The Bucs coming off their bye week against Minnesota. Kirk Cousins on the road is not the same quarterback that he is at home. And he could be turnover prone, as we saw against Jacksonville at home. The 49ers get Washington. I think the 49ers defense will bounce back, especially without Gibson in there. The Giants against Arizona. We've seen Kyler Murray, what he's been like, and obviously the Giants defense is playing better. And then anybody facing Mike Glennon is always on the list. So the Titans defense, even though they're horrible, terrible, absolutely atrocious, I'd look at them also.
I don't like them. I don't like this week for DST is what I meant.
It's not great for streamers. No, you're right.
Yeah. Dave, who's your favorite?
The Cowboys. Going up against Ryan Finley and Giovanni Bernard and a Bengals offensive line that lost their left tackle. And I hate their defense. I do. But at least they've got a decent pass rush. And Ryan Finley is probably the nut low at quarterback in the NFL.
Okay. Kickers, Jamie, who are the kickers?
The kickers would be Ryan Succop. Minnesota allows the most fantasy points to kickers. He's coming off his bye, so he was dropped. Robbie Gould gets Washington at home or their home field. Gregor Zuerlein gets the Bengals. Matt Prater, even though he didn't have any significant points last week because he didn't have any field goal attempts. And then Joey Sly coming off his bye as well gets the Broncos.
I think that this guy is rostered in like 95% of leagues, but I think since I've been watching a lot of football lately, pretty sure Young Wei Koo is playing quarterback for the Falcons because he's on the field. He is on the field all the time. It is so annoying as a fantasy manager who has had a lot invested in Matt Ryan. It's just like always up. We're bringing on the field goal unit. But Young Wei Koo has been so good. I hope we were able to pick him up in recent weeks. He's crushing it out there. All right, we got those games from last night. How about Washington 23 and Pittsburgh 17? What a terrific win for Washington. It did not look like they had a chance in hell at halftime. And they their defense was great. And Alex Smith played well enough. I mean, he threw 46 times. But J.D. McKissic, okay, only 5 carries, but he had 10 catches with Gibson out. So you know he's going to have that role. Peyton Barber.
He's a must-start guy in PPR this week.
Yeah, I mean, is there any interest in Peyton Barber as a waiver wire pickup? He's the goal line guy for most of the time.
I mean, keeper leagues, you know, this is where you kind of look at it and say, okay, he's going to get the work. 14 carries, it was a miserable 23 yards. And so it just kind of shows you how special Gibson is that he's able to overcome some of the woes of that offensive line. But, yeah, if you're stuck, you know, it's a flex at best in non-PPR leagues. That's the way I would kind of view him.
He's a touchdown or bust. You're either going to get 6 points out of him or you're going to get like two. And Brandon Scherff got hurt in the game against Pittsburgh, so I'm not sure
he played most of
okay the so then never mind that will help Barber average more than 1 yard per carry. He's up to two now.
When I said he's the goal line guy most of the time, let me clarify what I meant. When Gibson's out in that game, there was a little bit of McKissic near the goal line, but Barber scored the touchdown.
And you got to keep tabs on Gibson. If he ends up playing, then of course Barber's useless and McKissic's value goes down.
We had some really horrible wide receiver performances here. Terry McLaurin, 2 catches for 14 yards. It was a Cam Sims game. He had 92 yards. Juju Smith-Schuster had looked like a running back's line. 7 catches for 28 yards. Deontay Johnson was
in the game.
Very barely. Deontay Johnson was good, of course. I mean, he was productive.
He had some bad moments.
He was productive.
Yes.
They are dropping so many passes. And Chase Claypool, I think it's getting a little hard to trust him. It's six straight games with less than 70 yards.
He's losing playing time.
So yeah, like what are we? How are we feeling about McLaurin and the Pittsburgh receivers right now?
I go right back to McLaurin this week. I have no concern about that. The Steelers guys, Deontay Johnson's clearly the one you got to trust the most. I still trust Juju in PPR because of his catches, but as a number three receiver, he's in that top 30 range as opposed to top 24 range. And then Claypool, like you said, it's hard to trust him. You know, so he's sliding down the rankings. He's a number three receiver.
Eric Ebron must start. He's only started in 66% of leagues.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shraggy B with the stat here. Chase Claypool, 43% of the snaps, his fewest since week three. Yikes. All right, Buffalo 34 and San Francisco 24. Bills, okay. How good was Josh Allen last night? Wow.
He was great. Whew. He was great.
Might have put himself back in the MVP race.
He was amazing. Just like that arm strength is, we all know it. But just watching him pick them apart, he looked like an absolute star. How exciting is that?
Well, and this is the part of the schedule that we talked about would be very telling for Josh Allen. And if he steps up here, then you know that he's going to keep this up for a long time. So a great, tough matchup against San Francisco without John Brown, and he kicked butt. And now next week he's got the Steelers. That's going to be tough for him, but maybe not if all those guys are hurt for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they also, you know, it's not just Joe Hayden and the linebacker missing.
Bud Dupree is out for the year.
You know, so if he's out again, that's two cornerbacks and a linebacker, and you know, Bud Dupree as well. So the pass rush isn't the same. So where you might have been fearing Josh Allen heading into your playoff stretch, especially this week 14 matchup, I wouldn't.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. How do you feel about Cole Beasley? Because Cole Beasley is
must start.
Called him that last week. Well, I don't know if you called him a must start last week, but this is what he does. He gets 100 yards, then he gets 60 yards combined in the next two games, then he gets 100 yards. He's really inconsistent. He's crowdering. He's crowdering, everybody. No?
He's in that top 30 range. I mean, I don't know how you get away from him. He's been good more times than not when John Brown's been out.
Okay. He was 48% started, and he was 48% started. Again, I don't know if this is what happened, but did he just get shut down by Chris Harris 2 weeks ago? Was that the issue? And maybe that's why he had such a bad game.
He threw a touchdown.
And whatever. But he had 25 yards against the Chargers. Comes back.
Right. Still had 8 fantasy points in non-PPR.
So for Beasley this year, it's as many games with fewer than 40 yards as with more than 100 yards. 4 of each. Just a roller coaster season. Devin Singletary. So Zach Moss had a fumble. He also got banged up a little bit. Singletary, you don't love the production because the yards per carry were terrible, but he had 21 touches, 83 total yards. Any enthusiasm about Devin Singletary?
Moderate, but it's, you know, Moss got penalized, I think, for the fumble more so than he was hurt.
Yep. And I wouldn't love starting him against the Steelers.
Right. And Dave, what do you think about the Niners right now?
I still think that they're a good defense, but Josh Allen was just on fire. So there's just not a whole lot you can really do about it. When a quarterback is playing like this, you got to just, you know, tip the old cap, like people like to say. But I still think the 49ers defense is good.
Well, let me just, because I think they faced Wilson, Rodgers, and Allen recently, and those guys tore them apart.
Yeah, they're great quarterbacks.
But, right. When they
get
don't
Alex
face
Smith next
great
week.
Quarterbacks, they do pretty well. But all right, what do you think about the offense, though? You know, with the running back situation, with Debo and Ayuk both being worth, you know, start worthy, but Ayuk being great. What are your thoughts?
Ayuk's a must start. Debo's still a must start in PPR. And there's going to be hesitation with Mostert after what we saw on Monday night. And I totally get it. And I'm not quite certain why they got away from him and they went to Wilson more. And Wilson had a bunch of they had a bunch of carries near the goal line that didn't work out for Wilson. I don't know. It's a little frustrating to see Wilson get as much work as he did. And it'll make me think twice about starting Mostert against Washington.
Well, if you have Mostert, are you going to the waiver wire and at least giving yourself the week to think about it with
absolutely
Peterson?
Would want to pick up one of these guys off the waiver wire just to have as a plan B if I get cold feet with Mostert.
Cool.
But for now, I'm ranking Mostert ahead of them all.
All right, we're going to take a break on Fantasy Football Today. When we come back, we got the drop-o-meter and more names to know at every position. We'll be right back. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Time for nobody's favorite meter, the drop-o-meter. 0 to 10. 10 is a must drop. 0 is a why are you even asking me this, you moron. DJ Chark, 0 to 10, facing Tennessee.
0.
Yep.
Pardon
why
me?
Why are you even asking us, you
really?
Moron? For no, DJ I know Chark? He's not great, but I still want to have that option. He's a wide receiver I would consider valuable depth on my bench.
Glennon missed on a couple big throws to Chark. Had he come down with those, his stat line looks better. Mm-hmm. If Chenault is out, that's a few more targets probably that go his way. His first game for those two guys together on the field, and this matchup, as we know, is dreamy. So yeah. Okay. I still go back to Chark.
Tennessee this week. Michael Pittman at Las Vegas.
2-1.
It's just no, so,
one's just so more about I'm not ready to say that he's useless yet.
Because it's not like it's week 8 right now, you know? I mean,
I get it. I hear you. And this is what again, going back to what we talked about on Sunday, but just lopping him off my roster. Maybe 1 is a little too low. Maybe it should be more like 4. He's someone I would consider dropping if I really needed something else off the waiver wire. If my receivers are great and I need to plan ahead for week 15, he's a candidate to be dropped, but it doesn't mean I want to drop him. So that's what 4 stands for.
Okay. How about Matt Ryan at the Chargers this week?
I think he'll play well, so I'm not dropping him.
3.
How about Cam Newton at the Rams this week?
6.
5.
Christian Kirk at the Giants?
10.
5.
10 for Jamie, 5 for Dave. T. Higgins against Dallas?
10.
0. 10? You're definitely dropping T. Higgins?
Well, he may not play, so that's part of it. And he's going now to his third-string quarterback. That's part of it.
That's a big part of it.
I'm not starting T. Higgins, so I'm not carrying T. Higgins at this point.
Are you starting Michael Pittman?
I might start Michael Pittman against the Texans next week if he has a good game against the Raiders, which does not surprise me.
Okay, how about Tyler Boyd?
He's like an 8 in non-PPR.
2.
The touchdown that he had was so fluky on Sunday, where he just catches like this short out route that was meant just to convert the down, and just there was nobody in front of him and no one could catch him.
Yeah,
it was a very uncharacteristic play for Tyler Boyd.
His punch was pretty fluky too.
Yeah, I know.
It's the handshake, not a punch. Ridiculous ejection. All right, that's all I got.
That's how we shake hands.
Yeah, we just kind of slap each other in the helmet.
Yeah.
I have to wear a helmet around Dave. He's very scary.
I'm aggressive.
All right, to the waiver wire again. If Drew Brees is available, do you consider him a must add? Is that the dumbest 100% question ever? I mean, he's like...
Yeah, that's a 0 on the is this a smart question meter.
Well, yeah, 72% roster. This guy was playing great. 23 or more fantasy points in 4 straight games, 5 of his last 6, all of them without Michael Thomas. So, yeah, Drew Brees, pick him up. Good Azer fantasy tip there. Stafford, Rivers, Trubisky, Mayfield. And then you got, on the lower end, Drew Lock. 4 of the last 6 quarterbacks to face the Panthers have scored 27 or more points. They are Brees, Mahomes, Brady, and Cousins. So Drew Lock, Andy Dalton at Cincinnati, Jalen Hurts. What is your interest level, Dave, in Jalen Hurts?
0. Outside of dynasty keeper leagues maybe two quarterback leagues, I would pick him up. Not even super flex leagues would I be that interested in Jalen Hurts. Eh, I guess I'd be interested in super flex leagues on Jalen Hurts, but that's all right. I found my limit. It's super flex leagues. That's it.
Yeah. They should just, if they want to go to Jalen Hurts, but they don't want to make a big fuss, like they don't want controversy, let Carson Wentz start against the Saints. He will have a horrible game, and then everybody will be on board bringing in Jalen Hurts if they aren't already.
City of Philadelphia is already on board. They're ready to see Jalen Hurts play.
Yeah, you remember what Brian Westbrook said when we asked him about it. He's like, I asked him, what are the chances that this is Carson Wentz's last game as the Eagles starter, that Jalen Hurts just, you know, that the Jalen Hurts era begins? And I think he said it was like zero.
It is.
Because
they owe him too much money, but they could still, everybody, you know, the fans want to see a change.
A lot of talk about maybe the Colts trading for him because Frank Reich was good with Carson Wentz.
That would make a ton of sense.
I would love it. He needs a change of scenery so badly.
Well, he needs an offensive line.
He needs a lot of things.
Stability at wide receiver.
Okay. Any interest in Tua Tagovailoa against the Chiefs?
No.
No. Tua, the same time, I'd rather have him than Jalen Hurts. But those are the same types of leagues that I would want to get Tagovailoa in. But he's already rostered in all those leagues.
Any interest in Teddy Bridgewater against the Broncos? He's, you know, actually been pretty solid.
He has been, but if he doesn't have DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, I don't like the upside for a big game. He could be okay, might get you 20.
We have to make these decisions tonight, right? So I think if you're making a decision about the Panthers, you know, you should assume DJ Moore is not going to play because he tested positive, but Curtis Samuel probably will. That's how I would approach it. I mean, he's a close contact. He's got a full week to get cleared. That's typically a guy who's getting cleared to play.
Yeah, I think obviously they're getting a big piece back of the offense too with McCaffrey, so that'll help Bridgewater. But he also limped off the field in week 12, and we haven't listed, I haven't seen anything to say healthy or not healthy for Bridgewater, but he is on the injury report with some undisclosed injury. Could be ankle, could be knee. We know he had the knee problem a couple weeks ago. I don't think many people are running to the waiver wire to get Teddy Bridgewater. This could be a secondary ad that you get later in the week.
Definitely, yeah. This is for deeper leagues, I suppose. Also, you could argue that McCaffrey hurts him because McCaffrey has 5 rushing touchdowns in 3 games. You know, he's a vulture down there. Running backs, pick up McCaffrey if he's available. And here's the check to see, Acer Fantasy tip, check to see if available section. These guys are rostered in 74% or more of leagues. Devin Singletary, Duke Johnson, Jamal Williams, and Cam Akers. Jamie,
why am I checking to see if Duke Johnson's available?
He had six catches in the first game without Will Fuller. So in PPR leagues, that's going to give you some flex opportunity there.
Okay.
Jamie, why is Jamal Williams on here? As a handcuff?
Well, first off, he's arguably the best lottery ticket you can find if he's still available. And secondly, they're playing Detroit. So this has blowout potential, and we've seen what that means for the Packers. So he's in the flex range for deeper leagues.
I like it.
If Cam Akers is available, is he ahead of Kiki Cutie?
It's not even close. He's the number one player to add.
What about Devontae Booker? Would you drop him or keep him this week?
Oh, you have to keep him.
Agreed.
Okay, yeah, because he's so great. No, I agree. I just say. Okay, so then you get to McKissick and Peyton Barber, Adrian Peterson, Ty Johnson, Jeff Wilson. Jamie got Kalen Ballage on here, yet my Justin Jackson suggestion was met with some skepticism last week. But is there value in whoever the number two running back is for the Chargers?
Your Justin Jackson suggestion was met with skepticism because there were 4 guys at the time that were still healthy. Now they're down to 2.
Well, I thought Jackson was coming back, first of all. That's what I had read. He did not. But I do believe that Justin Jackson has played a lot better than any of the other guys. So I just figured that he could come back and be the number two guy ahead of Ballage, who's just a bad running back, and Kelly, who is young and not playing well.
Well, Kelly's hurt. Jackson's still hurt. So that's why Ballage is here.
Okay.
So if they're all healthy, yes, you can make a case for Justin Jackson being better. I think if they're all healthy, though, those 3 guys will probably cannibalize each other to a certain extent.
You can put Jackson in an IR spot if you want.
And then you got Ito Smith and Brian Hill. And at this point, is it Ito ahead of Brian?
Yeah, I just put Brian Hill there because he's going to get work, and you know who knows how. Oh, I'm sorry. The reason I put Brian Hill there, Ito Smith apparently got hurt last week's game. They didn't say it was a concussion, but they said a head injury. So if he's out, and Gurley's banged up, Brian Hill against the Chargers becomes a flex option, yeah, as bad as he is.
Oh, yeah. Rashad Penny could be making his way back soon. What is Carlos Hyde's? Carlos Hyde is 44% rostered, and he just, I just don't think he was healthy, but neither is Chris Carson. I mean, Pete Carroll said that much. Carson is not 100%. So I wonder if there's a role for Carlos Hyde next week or this upcoming week. If he's back, getting a little healthier, you know, could he get 12 carries or something?
But it wouldn't be enough.
The Jets, then, sure.
Yeah, right. Like, that's what you have to count on. I don't think you would want. I think the reason to have Carlos Hyde on a fantasy roster is you think he's the guy behind Chris Carson. And I don't think we can say that because Rashad Penny is coming back off the PUP list.
You think that matters? You think he'll be a factor?
I think that matters for Carlos Hyde.
Okay.
I'd be surprised if that matters significantly for Chris Carson. Although if he's playing hurt, it would obviously not be good because you're getting a fresh leg, young running back for the stretch run.
And JB sent me a text on Friday afternoon. He's like, why all the Daryl Williams ads? Daryl Williams is the last guy on this list. I added him in like four leagues because they said, oh, not sure about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If I had known that Edwards-Helaire, if I had known that he was going to be active but not play, I might have started Daryl Williams in some of those leagues and it wouldn't have ended up well, but he would have scored more than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which was, you know.
I started Daryl Williams not knowing that Edwards-Helaire wasn't going to play because obviously when he's listed active, nobody knows. But I started Daryl Williams in the showdown on DraftKings and just because he was so cheap. And I'm like, okay, Edwards-Helaire is, you know, sick. You know, maybe they do give the other guys work, especially if it's a blowout.
He was already playing some third downs anyway.
Right. So I was like, okay, I'll just throw Daryl Williams there. Now, he wasn't awesome, but I was like, man, if he scores, I did cash. But if he had scored, I might have had a chance to be a significant winner in that one.
Okay. Any interest in Cordero Patterson? He had 11 touches last week, scored a touchdown.
Same answer as it's been for the last 23 years. No.
I'm gonna say a bold prediction. If one team actually commits to Cordero Patterson playing running back, I think he could be solid. He's really talented.
Because that's what you want to do is you want to find a converted receiver to commit to giving
he's
work.
He's not
to
a receiver. Like, he's been more productive basically.
Who's like 30 years old.
When he's had chances at running back, he's been like a better running back than he's been a receiver throughout his career basically. And he's so good returning kicks. I mean, he's the best kick returner in the game, you'd think. He's a talented guy. I would love to see him actually get a chance.
Give him 20 carries.
Give him 15. See what happens. All right.
Mm-hmm. Don't do it now while David Montgomery.
Right.
No.
Like you're going to speak this into existence and cost David Montgomery some playing time, you bastard.
No. Wide receivers here. All right, let's look at the check to see if they're available list. Who are the must adds if you see them on your waiver wire? Curtis Samuel, Cole Beasley, Alan Lazard, Nelson Agholor, Michael Pittman.
I mean, Samuel, just because if he does play, he's got top 20 upside in DJ Moore's absence. And then Cole Beasley's in that top 30 range. So those are the two I think you got to look at. But Aguilar's targets have been so consistent. You know, it's a surprise because he was more productive on less targets and he's been less productive on more targets. But, you know, this week and then, you know, the upcoming schedule for him is fairly favorable.
Do you basically feel like if Derek Carr, if you have faith in Derek Carr, you should have faith in Nelson Agholor?
Well, I mean, you could have had faith in Derek Carr this week, and that didn't really matter.
But
if you're giving me 11 targets,
to get Agholor,
like I can accept Nelson Aguilar's bad game when he had 11 targets, you know?
For sure.
I can accept it.
It's now 26 targets his last three games.
Right. And, you know, the three games before that, you had 25 or fewer pass attempts for Carr. So when he has the throw, Aguilar's pretty involved. And I think we're probably expecting Rivers and Carr to kind of go at it this week.
Yes. I think one thing with Agholor that he would be potentially a must start for a lot of people this week, if the first deep throw on Greg Williams' stupid play calling ends up in his hands as opposed to Henry Ruggs' hands. So you have 11 targets and one of those is a 60-yard touchdown or whatever it was. Well, it was a 46-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. That puts him at 5 catches for 90-plus yards on 11 targets.
Right, yeah. Sure.
You know, it's a much different stat line, and you feel much better about Agholor. He's got stone hands. I mean, he's not a good catch. He's not a good receiver.
He makes a drop every game.
And that's kind of why he's in the spot that he's in. But he's in the spot that he's in because Derek Carr trusts him and the Raiders trust him. So based on targets, he's their leading receiver, aside from Darren Waller, clearly.
You say stone hands. You make me think of football movies. Just want to say there was a great romantic comedy on the other night named Jerry Maguire. It has a little bit of football in it, but it's not a football movie. Priority list is QT, T.Y. Hilton, Tim Patrick, Rashard Higgins. What about Chad Hansen, by the way? One of the Hansen brothers. You might not know that about him. He was in the band. 5 catches, 101 yards, 7 targets. It's a joke. 101 yards on 7 targets for Chad Hansen against the Colts. So if you, we like QT a lot, but what about Hansen?
He's a deep league ad. You know, I think you got to look at it and say they're playing him. You know, they decided that he's going to be their third receiver now. So
I should have said, where's the love for Chad Hansen? Because that was the other.
You had to look up more Hansen songs.
No, I was pretty sure.
He knew it. Sure, he knew it. But he's a huge Hansen fan.
No. Colin Johnson has gotten 14 targets for Jacksonville and like 160 yards in the last 2 games, and Tennessee is the opponent. With Julian Edelman comes back, which could it be this week? He's eligible, right? Yeah.
He is eligible.
Is that the end of Jacoby Myers? Because one thing I want to point out about Jacoby Myers, like, the numbers haven't been great the last 2 weeks. Cam Newton has less than 100 passing yards, 2 straight games. But Myers still getting a really good target share. 2 weeks ago, he had about 55 yards, and Cam Newton had about 85 yards. So you could see a scenario where Myers would do better if Cam actually had to throw the ball. But would Julian Edelman destroy Jacoby Myers?
Probably.
I would think so.
All right. Cam Sims, Henry Ruggs, Russell Gage. These guys are also on the list. Dave, are you going to be picking up any of them?
No. Not unless it's a deep league where I have a hard time finding wide receivers. I'm in two such leagues where it's 14 teams and you start two wide receivers and you have 3 flex spots. So like Russell Gage is a must start in those types of leagues. Same with Henry Ruggs.
All right. Well, then I've got more names for you guys. Are you ready for the Azer list?
What is the Azer list?
The list of wide receivers that I'm going to give you now.
Oh,
are you ready for it? Okay, here we go. Sterling Shepard, 61% rostered.
If Daniel Jones is back, I don't mind it. If Colt McCoy's there, I wouldn't trust it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if Daniel Jones is back, you should expect 6 catches, about 10 to 13 PPR fantasy points. That's what he's had in every healthy game with Daniel Jones. Jacoby Myers, for the reasons I just said.
No.
Emmanuel,
I hate it, but got to give him up.
Emmanuel Sanders, 66% rostered. It's about Drew Brees here.
No, because Sanders has not been good with Michael Thomas back.
Hunter Renfro?
No.
Coming off bad games, but they had been good prior to this. Brashad Perryman and Denzel Mims?
No.
I'm thinking about, would I consider starting these receivers? And obviously the answer is no, except in the case of Shepard in a full PPR league, if he's got his starting quarterback back. So then if I'm not starting them, how interested am I in carrying them on my bench? And at this point in the year, I'm just not.
Okay, that was the Azer list. Thank you for crapping all over it. Didn't really expect a lot of yeses on there.
Shepard's certainly interesting, but I think the people who have him rostered already are probably the ones that are the only ones that are going to roster him. I don't think 10-team league is going to roster Stone Shepard at this point.
To the tight ends, see if Mike Gesicki is available. He's got 2 huge games in a row and faces the Chiefs, who have been struggling against tight ends lately in their last 3 games. Zach Ertz is 75% rostered. Is he still an ad, or is Zach Ertz a drop?
I don't think he's somebody you have to go pick up, but I also think we saw this once with Dallas Goedert, where he came back, had to shake the rust off game, and you know, could just be something that getting used to maybe a new quarterback will help. So he's one of those guys like would be a secondary ad. You know, you get through the week, if he's still sitting there in a 10-team league, you know, tight end situation stinks. I wouldn't have a problem picking him up and seeing what happens this week. Especially if you have a bye.
Oh, Jamie, how you feeling about Noah Fant? 57 yards last week. Still Noah, thank you.
Yeah.
Carolina.
I don't hate him this week.
Yeah
he's not somebody that I would run to pick up. He's also not somebody I would drop. I usually, last few weeks I have him on drop list. I decided not to do that.
He'll get you
like the fact that he led them in targets last week.
He'll get you 9 PPR points.
And the Panthers have given up 50 yards or a touchdown to a tight end in 7 straight games, including Cole Kmet, Jared Cook, Hayden Hurst, Kelsey, Gronk, Brate, Hockenson, and Rudolph. Some pretty good tight ends there, but not all of them. Logan Thomas is number one in terms of the widely available guys. Are you really excited? It is obviously a great game for him. 98 yards and a touchdown. He had 20 yards and a touchdown in week 12 at Dallas. But we know, I mean, he's been pretty inconsistent. So are you expecting big things from Thomas, or just like, gotta roster him and let's cross our fingers?
I would go back to what he was prior to last week, where I think it was 4 of his last 6 games, he got you 10 or more PPR points. So I think there's been a pretty consistent floor for him. If this is the ceiling, it's obviously great, but you see the track record, like you said, Adam, it hasn't exactly been there. You got to be impressed, though, that he did this against Pittsburgh, because they were number one in, you know, defending tight ends in the NFL, number one in fantasy points allowed to tight ends. And so if they're going to trust him in this matchup, and this is another difficult matchup, I think you got to buy into him as a low-end starter. He's not a top 10 fantasy option, but he's in that mix.
Okay. Dalton Schultz, Anthony Firkser, Jordan Reed, Tyler Eifert, Cole Kmet, Jared Cook with Drew Brees hopefully coming back, Will Disley in a great matchup.
Obviously. Like, Cook was good last week. Taysom Hill was good last week. But if Drew Brees is back, you know that Brees likes Cook, and we'll look for him on a couple of longer passes and in the red zone each week.
Let Brees cook.
Right? Let Cook cook.
Let Cook cook. Exactly.
The two guys after Logan Thomas are kind of still contingent. Schultz, seeing what happens in Tuesday's game, because he could obviously get hurt. Dalton could look away from him. But if the targets are there going against the Bengals next week, he's a, like I said, a borderline starter. And then Firkser is clearly dependent on Jonnu Smith coming back.
Jordan Akins. And then we mentioned earlier, the three teams that have the best matchups this week are Seattle against the Jets, Houston against Chicago, and what's the one I'm missing here? Oh, Firkser, right? Yeah, Firkser against Jacksonville. But what about, like, how do you feel about these guys? Austin Hooper and Hayden Hurst. Are they drops? Are they, like, they're so annoying, to be quite honest with you. But
I think you can drop Hooper.
I would drop Hooper in a minute. I wouldn't drop Hurst because of the matchup against the Chargers.
Okay.
It's a Joe Boo week for Hayden Hurst.
And I'm just going to say this name because if he doesn't do anything, no one's going to care because no one's going to add him anyway. But if he does do something, I can say, hey, I said his name on Tuesday. Drew Sample has 12 targets and 89 yards in his last 2 games.
I wonder if that has to do with Brandon Allen, though.
Right. And we don't know.
And if Higgins is out, that'll help.
Yeah, if Higgins is out, if Boyd gets into a fight again, all these things could help Drew Sample. So remember, I said his name, but only remember that if he does well against Dallas. DSTs, not the best week for streamers. Patriots, Bucks, Niners, Giants, Titans, and Dave likes the Cowboys against the Bengals. I would be a little tempted with the Cowboys if it's Finley and Higgins might be. Like, I would be a little bit tempted.
Yeah, it's a good call. I should have put the Cowboys on the list. So, good call on Cowboys.
Okay, I'm sorry. I really don't want to be the homer here, but the Giants defense is playing really, really well, and the Cardinals offense is not. And it's a cross-country chip. I know they're on there, but I mean,
he wants to know why they're not the number one DST to start this week.
All right, fine. Yeah, I guess that's fair. Why are they not? They're number four for you. Should they be number one of the streamers?
Oh, this is the list I gave you. You can put them first.
I don't know that I would. I don't know that I would. I mean, maybe I'd go with the
Bucks. I shuffled the order a little bit, so I think I have them third now.
Third? Yeah, it's not a great week.
I have them third as of now.
Okay.
And they're absolutely a top 12 DST.
And well, hopefully, you know, got to check on Blake Martinez's status, but I think he's expected to play. It didn't seem like a major injury for him. Kicker streamers, suck up Gold, Zerline, Prater, and Sly. And bye, everyone. Thank you for listening. We got Twitch tonight, and we're going to watch some football tonight. Cowboys, can the Cowboys make it a 3-1 week? All right, we are Hanson. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.